This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we say hi on a Tuesday. Got a big show. Brooke Austin going to join. We'll do a bunch of college football. Of course, you got three games coming up tonight. You know, it feels like we've done Liberty, we've done Jacksonville State, we've done La Tech, we've done Middle Tennessee State, we've done Coastal, we've done App State. We're going to do them again as college football tonight. Of course, we got allergies with Mr. Shaw. He's going to battle through it, though, as we say hi to the boys. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. Got playoff baseball, Houston, Minnesota coming up in just over an hour. Series tied at 1-1 there. Target Field in Minnesota. Of course, Texas and Baltimore. Texas up 2-0. Last night, you had football, right? But if you're a sports fan, the baseball was off the charts last night. The Phillies-Braves game was freaking unbelievable. Your boy Bryce Harper being a donk on the base paths. And then Arizona, a team that won over 100 games 2 years ago, all of a sudden one win away from the NLCS 2-0 lead on the Dodgers. Okay, with that, we say hi to the boys. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, downtown Las Vegas. Hi, Amal.
Hey, you mentioned that was football. I don't know if that's exactly what I would call it last night between the Raiders and the Packers. Jordan Love inconsistent. How about Josh McDaniels once again foregoing the proper call, and they were fortunate enough to be able to hold on in that football game. But you're right, the baseball was tremendous. Dodgers trying to put a late rally together in the sixth inning, couldn't capitalize there. Backs against the wall now. Can they win three in a row with the inconsistent starting pitching?
Yep, we're going to get into that. Absolutely cannot wait. Plenty to do. I've got 14 unbeaten teams in college football. Going to get the boys' take. Also, kind of midway through the Pac-12 season, I'm going to ask for a letter grade from the two of you on these Pac-12 teams. Kind of been a theme on the show as the best conference in football in our estimation. So plenty there as we say what's up to the big guy. We are, of course, still buzzing off of our, I don't know, I guess the line moved a little bit. Maybe we can get an update right now in real time. October 10th, yesterday, Bill AD stopped by with our $1,000 free roll, free play as far as the Super Bowl futures. And we were shopping for the best number, and we decided over at circa 40-1 on the Baltimore Ravens. Excuse me, that was Freudian. On the Cincinnati Bengals felt like the right number. And do we have an update today? I think it moved to 35-1 yesterday.
It went to 35, back up to 36, but it happened instantly. We placed that 1,000 down, and I posted that ticket on Twitter so people thought it was my money. So trying to deceive some people.
Your headset doesn't work, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and just exit stage right. That was a conversation before the show. The big-ass donk didn't finish it during the break, Amal Shaw, so he is in and out. And, you know, that might be the radio/TV gods kind of cursing the big guy because he's been flexing so much with his wins ATS-wise. Oh, my gosh. I don't know about your morning conversations, but do you ever start a convo with him without telling you what he did the night before with his bets? It's unbelievable.
You know what? To his credit, he generally may work that in at some point in time. But yep. He doesn't. That's not his lead usually intro, so that's pretty good.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because he can't defend himself right now. And you should see the frustration on his face. The big guy right now is reeling. Okay. Do you want to say something? You have to, if you didn't flip out the headset, you're going to still go in and out. Go ahead, big guy.
I mean, I hear me. I hear you guys, but apparently you don't hear me.
No, it's not working. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Why are you continuing to talk into the same headset? Yesterday, Bill AD sat down. There was a third headset. Simply grab the other headset. There you go. Look at me producing from Los Angeles. It's unbelievable. You mentioned Josh McDaniels. Another baffling fourth quarter decision, Amal. Okay, so let's talk about this. Such an under last night in the NFL on Monday Night Football. We were wrong. I was wrong for sure. Green Bay,
teaser was a loser.
Even with all the injuries, but Green Bay had an opportunity to win this game, okay? But we should have a Jordan Love conversation. We started off the year very well and has absolutely struggled. 17-13, 30 points scored, 4 picks in the game, 3 Love, 1 from Garoppolo. But this was Josh McDaniels. I don't know how he meets with his team. I don't know how he meets with the owner, who's a freaking weirdo. But he was bailed out by that Jordan Love pick. Fourth and two, 2 minutes to go. Okay. Vegas up 17-13 on the Green Bay 34. He chooses to attempt a 52-yarder. Okay. So essentially, to make it a one-score game, he decides to kick a 52-yarder and then turn around and hand the Packers, when Carlson misses it, turns around and hands the Packers a short field, Amal, down four with a chance to win it. None of it made any sense, because if you hit the field goal, it's 20-13. It's still a one-score game with an opportunity with the timeout to go there for the Packers to come back and win it. It was baffling.
I can't believe the decision. And to be honest with you, I don't even think it was a full two that they needed to go. Jacobs has run the ball effectively. If you go for it and you make it, the game is over. And I understand if Carlson makes the field goal, you're still up by seven. But Patrick, the way Green Bay had played in that football game, I had a strong feeling that Matt LaFleur, if they scored with under about 20 seconds remaining, was going to go for the win and go for two. It didn't seem like a scenario to me where he would have ended up kicking the extra point. That's just a gut call. I have no idea of substantiating that argument. But again, to me, this guy just makes decisions that are mind-boggling throughout. And I think at this point in time, he is second-guessing himself. I think there's just fear, and he's playing what is the safest route and decided to go with the field goal with Carlson. Remember, they had one block before halftime, and then the one late in the game gets missed by Carlson, who's generally about as reliable as almost any kicker not named Justin Tucker. But this Raiders team, they were fortunate to win this game. Max Crosby played an outstanding game. But you brought up Jordan Love. I got to tell you right now, I was watching Jordan Love last night. I go, you know, there's certain times you like his mobility, his ability to throw the ball on the run sometimes. And I go, this guy would be great if he was at Alabama. And why? Because he'd have a ton of talent around him and his errors wouldn't be as egregious. In the NFL, when you make these types of mistakes, you're going to make sure your team is drafting a quarterback in the next draft.
You just said it with Josh Jacobs just quickly on McDaniels. I like what you said there about him kind of second doubting and doubting himself and second guessing himself. He's a short yardage back.
Yeah.
It's not a great run defense. Listen, I know he wasn't going crazy last night and Jacobs 20 carries for 69 yards, but they've got one timeout, Amal. There's 2 minutes to go. You get a first down, you ice the game. It's like legitimately a childish basic conversation that you're having amongst your coaches, and he chooses to kick the field goal. I attempt the field goal. I don't care if it's Justin Tucker. I agree with you. Carlson's awesome, but the idea of even making that field goal and not going for it there, as far as the probabilities, I don't understand the decision at all.
To substantiate your argument, and I agree with you completely, remember the missed kick, I believe the kick was 52 yards. So now, instead of the ball being at the 35-yard line where the original line of scrimmage is, the ball goes back to the 42-yard line, the spot of the missed kick. And so for me, that's another reason why you should have gone for it. Patrick, I thought the way this team played coming in at 1-3, great opportunity kind of to say, hey, we're going to establish who we are. We believe in our offense. We believe in our offensive line and Josh Jacobs. Let's go for it here. And even if we fail, the defense is still going to be in a position to bail us out, which they did exactly that. But I just didn't get it. I said to a coach, and I was thinking about this when they went to the 2-minute warning. If I said to you, you've got a yard and a half, maybe two to get to win a football game, or you're going to try a 52-yard field goal, you're going to rely on your defense to prevent the other team from going 75 yards to tie the game and potentially lose it on a two-point conversion. Which one are you taking? I don't know a single person outside. I'm sorry?
I'm praying if I'm the other coach, I'm praying they attempt the field goal, right?
Absolutely. If you're Matt LaFleur, that's exactly what you want. And if you're a head coach outside of Josh McDaniels, the other 31 are all taking the scenario I just presented. The game is over. Look. There are certain scenarios in the game. I like the fact that Green Bay had run the ball in the first couple downs at the goal line and they didn't get in. That's fine in that third quarter sequence when Dylan brought the ball down. I'm sorry, when Watson got the ball down there deep. You saw this throughout. There was a weekend game over the weekend that somebody ran the ball three straight times, didn't get in. I don't mind those types of plays. And if Jacobs doesn't make it, he doesn't make it. You live with the result. But I thought this was an opportunity where if you're the Raiders, you have a great opportunity. You got to just take a shot. And if you don't make it, you don't make it.
Bad, basic, those two teams stink.
Oh.
Now, one, we got to give the big guy credit. He did. I compared A.J. Dillon to two-yard Trent Richardson, and that's essentially what he ran for. However, he did have 20 carries, and the big guy went over his carry attempts. So good job by the big guy as far as the prop. The two teams, without Aaron Jones, that is their best player. Without Jones and that depleted offensive front, the Packers are garbage. The Raiders, how about this? The Packers, even without Jones and without an offensive line, to score 13 points against that defense off the performance against the Lions? Dreadful. Now, you got two teams, and the Packers and Raiders. The Raiders just, you know, they're 2-3. The Packers are 2-3. I just went through it for fun. Right now, of the 32, right now in the league, 20 teams have either two or three wins. Now, you call it parity, you just, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It's just, there's a lot of basic teams. And last night, you couldn't have watched two more basic teams than the Packers and Raiders. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, think about this team right now. I just looked at the overall standings. The Steelers are the eighth rated team based on the head to head tiebreakers, what have you. We're only in week five. But and then you go all the way down to the bottom here with the Bengals sitting at 2-3. These teams are interchangeable. You know, we talked about the Bengals winning the Super Bowl at 40-1. Patrick, a plus 450 to win this division. I don't understand how they're not a play for people. It's mind-boggling how bad the teams are outside of San Francisco, Kansas City, Philadelphia. If you want to throw the Miami Dolphins in there, fine, but the Dolphins didn't look great against the Giants on Sunday. Buffalo leaves a lot to be desired. 1 minute, the Buffalo Bills look like that run of four straight Super Bowls, beating the hell out of the Miami Dolphins up in Orchard Park. They go to London. They might as well have been playing cricket the way they performed against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Speaking of which, you know Marv Levy, I think he just had a birthday. You know how old he is?
I want to say 97, 98.
My man is pushing trip dubs. He's 98. He still goes out. He's like you. He's out grabbing dinner every night. Sociable. He's doing it all. Marv Levy. Marv Levy looked 98 40 years ago. So I don't know the distinction. All right. We've got football tonight. I will see if the big guy, tremendous producing by the big guy. I wanted to get you in to talk about AJ Dillon, let you flex a little bit. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the puck drops tonight on the NHL season, a brand new one. Our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSIN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, future bets, award picks, and season-long props, first period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bet articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSIN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSIN Pro subscriber today at vsin.com/subscribe. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. Some say there's a conspiracy theory going on. Many are reporting that it's Liz. She doesn't like our director. She doesn't like the big guy flexing about all his ATS wins lately. So she's cut his mic. The big guy, for him not to get attention and attention dollars for three straight hours here on Sharp Money, is going to be a rough one. He, of course, the producer, Dustin Sweetelson, as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher. Dustin is going to be joining us in just a bit. Amal Shaw, of course, co-host of this fine program. And we were talking yesterday. I don't know if there was residually. We just discussed, of course, the Green Bay Packers and the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if there was a buzz in town. You know, if you think about it, everybody's get right spot from here on out is going to be the Patriots, and the Raiders do get the Patriots coming to Vegas. So an opportunity to go to 500, 3-3. Right now they're sitting 2-3 after the win over the Packers last night. The Packers are going to be at the Broncos, so an opportunity for them as well. Was there buzz? I mean, it was, as we discussed leading into the matchup, it was a very pro-Packer crowd. It got loud in there whenever the Packers did anything of substantial note.
Well, you would have thought it was a Packer home game. I mean, Patrick, I don't know if you were listening to the audio throughout the game. I was kind of flipping back and forth on the audio between the baseball and the football. And there were times when Green Bay would make a play. You could tell it was a pro-Packer crowd. I don't recall ever seeing a large, like, look-away shot that where you saw right. The majority of the green and yellow, but it definitely had a vibe and a feel that if it was a neutral site game, it was definitely more Green Bay Packer fans there. And you mentioned the Raiders with an opportunity this Sunday coming up against the Patriots. Man, I'll tell you what. I know the Raiders as a team don't think they're out of contention. But what's interesting to me, and I don't know what your takeaway is, this team, when I look at them, there are times when you look at their offense with Davante Adams, Hunter Renfro, even Jimmy Garoppolo and Josh Jacobs, you go, these guys are capable of offensively moving the ball against any team in the National Football League. Then there's other times you go, these guys couldn't move it against a high school team. The inconsistency with this Raiders team, whether it be on offense, defense, or even special teams, is, I think, their biggest problem. And we don't even need to get into the head coach and what the scenario there is at this point in time. But that's where, to me, they are just not good enough to show consistency for four quarters.
Max Crosby, while he's generally not in that conversation with the Bosas and the Donalds and the Watts, Amal, he's a complete difference maker when he was when he was going like he was last night. He was in the backfield constantly, constant pressures, sacks. I mean, he is just, and when you see him in person, when you see Crosby in person, you realize what an athletic freak he is. He is, he's a tremendous ball player. You're right, they're a bit of a tease as a team because they do have talent. You know, I was thinking during the first half, Davante Adams, who's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Garoppolo targeted him once in the first half. Like, what is that? Even O'Connell last week, you could tell he was just locked in on Adams. And even when you dial in on Adams, he's gonna catch the football. But there was a bit, it was disparate, right? In the second half, they started to try to focus on him a little bit more. You've got talent, and Jacobs is a guy that obviously last year led the league. It's a team that's got talent. Now you look, Vegas is laying three with New England coming to town. I can't take the three with the Patriots right now. That's a team that's unraveling.
You're absolutely right. A few things I want to address that you brought up. Let's start with Max Crosby. Last night, he's got five tackles, a sack, and four TFLs, four tackles for loss. Nick Bosa on the season does not have four TFLs. I mean, this guy was living in the backfield. You would have thought he was lined up offsides on every play, the amount of times he was in the backfield for the Green Bay Packers. What a great job he had done. And then you mentioned Davante Adams. If somebody said to me it's a life or death decision, I only choose one receiver. My favorite is Justin Jefferson. But I got to tell you, if I was testifying in court, Patrick, I still have to go with 17 with the Raiders. This guy is unstoppable. He's unstoppable.
I think I might, too.
I don't understand. Look, if you're going to throw picks, why don't you throw the pick in the direction of Davante Adams? I'd rather it be an incomplete pass. He's smart enough and just athletic enough to make a play where he knocks it down if he doesn't catch the ball. This guy just catches everything. He makes plays on balls you don't think you're even capable of being caught and getting the yardage. He just is an absolute superstar. For so long, I thought he was a byproduct of Aaron Rodgers. That's not the case. This guy is a standalone superstar regardless of who the quarterback is.
It's such a rich position, such a fruitful time for wide receivers in the league right now, because even as you say that, Tyreek Hill, the most explosive, Jamar Chase just went for, I don't know, three touchdowns, almost 200 yards receiving over the weekend. You mentioned Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams. We can go on and on. And by the way, Justin Jefferson, news here, he's gone to the IR with a hamstring issue. If that team continues to lose because of his contract situation, we may not see JJ Justin Jefferson again this year, but he's going to miss at least four games. The timeline is undetermined right now. The Vikings are at the Bears this weekend. But he's going to be gone for at least four here, Justin Jefferson.
That's a huge blow for this Minnesota Vikings team. Right now, when you look at them, had an opportunity against the Kansas City Chiefs. I actually agreed with the penalty being picked up in that game against the Chiefs. Didn't think a PI should have been called on that play. Chiefs holding on for the win, I think 31-24. But real quick, you mentioned Jefferson going to the shelf for 4 weeks and potentially could get shut down if things go really just off the rails in Minnesota. This goes to the greatness of Mike Evans, Patrick. When you look at Mike Evans, 10 consecutive years over 1,000 yards, think about the consistency, the health, and the ability. And it's not like he played with Tom Brady for 10 years. This guy's done it with a bunch of guys outside of Brady. Most of us couldn't name who played quarterback for Mike Evans for a number of years. JJ's career has gotten off to a good of a start as anybody in the history of the National Football League. But that's, I was just thinking about when we were talking about great receivers, and I was thinking about Jefferson not potentially reaching 1,000 yards this year. It just shows you how good this position is. We didn't even talk about A.J. Brown. Garrett Wilson's a guy who's like, hey, guys, I got a bounce passer throwing me the football. I don't even have a quarterback like the rest of you guys.
You can keep on going and going. Yeah. Olave is going to be a freaking stud. I totally agree. And by the way, Tampa Bay decided they're going to move on from Evans, who's not a burner either. What he's done with just body control and his size has been incredible. Three is the number right now in Vegas next week for a Patriots team that it's just the vibes are weird right now. Let me just set up the number quickly. Packers at the Broncos. So you take a look like right now, you've got two teams, and the Patriots and Broncos. I don't know if you can find two worse teams. You see a number, Amal, just quickly trying to find that number on the Packers at the Broncos.
I think you got the wrong week on that one. This week the Broncos are...
The Broncos are at the Chiefs. Yep. So Green Bay, so they're headed to their bye.
Yeah.
Green Bay's headed to their bye. The following week they'll take on Denver. Quickly, you mentioned Justin Jefferson. We were thinking about running the board because injury news coming in hot and heavy in the NFL and something... to note, okay, so Jefferson out for 4 weeks. Devin Achane, who's averaging 12.1 yards per carry. By the way, he's got 38 rush attempts, and he's second in the league at 460 yards. The last three games for the speedster there with Miami, 203 rushing yards, 101 and 151. He's gone for multiple weeks with the knee, so that's one. James Conner, the question as far as the Cardinal running back, Kelsey, high ankle sprain. Richardson's out for a couple of weeks with the quarterback there with the Colts. Daniel Jones, optimistic, but he's injured. Kincaid and Knox, the two tight ends with the Bills. Milano, the linebacker. So I'm just throwing out a bunch of names. If there's anybody I've missed, please jump in. But we're heading into that part of the season where all of a sudden the injuries are starting to mount.
Yeah, a name that normally wouldn't have been mentioned a few weeks ago, but Tank Dell, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, also he got injured with a concussion in the first half against Atlanta there. That has an impact on C.J. Stroud and that offense. Milano, I think you mentioned for the Bills at linebacker, but you're absolutely right. You're starting to see some key names throughout the course of the season. And I'll tell you what, Daniel Jones, I know we've been critical of him on this network, or at least I should say I have been, but the reality of it is they need him. I mean, who's the backup there? Tyrod Taylor, I believe. You know, just no consistency for him. Yep. And I thought for a long time TT was probably the best backup in the league. I don't know if that's the case anymore. It's interesting, Patrick, in the National.
Deshaun Watson as well, Amal. Oh. Just quickly on Watson. Yeah. Who is a big question mark. It looks like if he doesn't play this weekend, it's going to be P.J. Walker.
Well, I'll tell you what, P.J. Walker struggled in the preseason this past year. I tell you, this Browns team is in serious trouble, and Kevin Stefanski, this could be kind of the death knell for him. It's not his fault the injuries have impacted them, but without Nick Chubb, without potentially Deshaun Watson, we saw how much DTR struggled against the Baltimore Ravens. It's really a critical time for the Cleveland Browns here in a division where they've got an opportunity to make some headway with this defense. 49ers on deck. It's going to be a challenge against that San Francisco team who's playing as well as anybody through the first 5 weeks of the season.
All right, big guy. Give it a go. Let's see if we can hear you.
Got me?
So far,
yes.
So good.
All right. So next segment, I'll tease for you. This is like when radio DJs that played music would play like Stairway to Heaven to go drop a deuce. You guys can go away.
Oh, God.
10 minutes of me. Coming back on the other side. You guys don't have to speak. I have a lot to say. You kind of muted me for the last, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, shout to Reggie, shout to Sean, shout to Liz, shout to the crew working their butts off there at the D. And the crew and you can win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use the code WINNER and get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Do me a favor, Dustin, look up the series price it adjusted for Major League Baseball right now as we welcome you back. Let's do a little baseball. Got two games. We've got first pitch coming up in about 40 minutes there in Minnesota. They rip home field. You know, if you think about it, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. If you think about it, you got Javier and Sonny Gray today to start there in Minnesota. After Verlander exited game one, Minnesota's dominated this series.
You're absolutely right.
Verlander was freaking great in game one, and then they scored. I think they plated four as soon as Verlander got out. Lopez pitched great in game two in Houston, and here we go, Amal. Game three today. Minnesota's sitting in a good spot.
They're in a great spot. Sonny Gray, who to me is arguably their best pitcher, in going up against Christian Javier, who has been inconsistent for this Astros team this year. Good opportunity. Gray had a good postseason start so far already. Christian Javier is a guy that when you look at it against Arizona, pitched very, very well. Had six innings, just the three hits. But, Patrick, towards the end of the regular season, just every start pretty much he's given up three or four earned runs, not going too deep into the games. I think the Twins at home, who generally are a long ball type of team, not going to go station to station, have some pretty good opportunities in this one. Guys, I played the under 4.5 in the first five. I was surprised it was a 4.5. I thought it would be a 4 flat with the game total being 8 flat. So I think that additional half a run with Gray and company. And remember, we're in a best of three now. And you're going to have a short hook on these starting pitchers. You're not going to have the opportunity to start walking two guys and three guys here.
Well, Dustin was celebrating. So my assumption is he's right there with you on the first five under. I'm going full game under that 8. So a couple of things. Javier's had a weird season. Yeah. I think you highlighted it well. I mean, he was dominant last year. He was awesome last year. He was up and down, you know, 4.56 ERA. The whip was elevated. But he's a big time pitcher. He proved that last year in the postseason. Sonny Gray is a freaking wagon. Sonny Gray, he's going to get Cy Young votes and 5 scoreless in the wild card round against the Blue Jays. Just an awesome year. 12 lifetime appearances against Houston, right around a 3 ERA. So, again, you're going to have to lay about a dollar. We're showing $1.17. That's a stale number, right, boys? Because I got $1.36 on my board right now and a total of 8. But again, Lopez was great in game 2, Dustin. Since Verlander left, and Verlander's one of the greats. So you have to be fair to the Twins. That was in Houston. Since Verlander checked out, the Twins have owned the series, and here they come back home with home field.
Twins have something, and it's kind of annoying because I think all three of us would agree when you look at how they've put together this team, it's like, how is this working? They're MacGyvering it. It's toothpicks and bubble gum and paper clips, and somehow it's all working for them. They're a really solid team. And as long as Lopez pitches like he did the other night, that gives them length in that rotation. And now they get to throw Gray today. Do you understand? You take away the Yankee years from Sonny Gray's career, and we're going, this guy is one of the better pitchers of the last, like, 10 years. He just couldn't do it in New York for whatever reason. He's got a 2.39 career ERA in the postseason. This guy knows what it takes to win big games. He's absolutely going to keep them in this game tonight. And on the other side, Javier is a guy who has a lot of postseason experience from his time being in the Houston rotation and the Houston bullpen. I think he potentially could limit Minnesota, which is why I like that first five under. A
couple things I want to address that Dustin just mentioned there. First of all, when he was celebrating the under 4.5, it would have been funnier to me if he was like, yeah, I'm on the over 4.5. That would have sounded better. But the other thing, you talked about Sonny Gray. This is a guy, guys, including the postseason, has made 33 starts this year. In 30 of the 33 starts this year, he's given up 3 earned runs or less. You talk about consistency.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Consistency and battling in situations. And you got to go back to August 19th against Pittsburgh, he gave up 4 runs. July 17th against the Mariners at Seattle, he gave up 5 runs. Other than that, this guy has just been outstanding all season long in terms of what he's been able to do. He had a couple of bad, and then they had against the Orioles a bad start on July 8th. But other than that, a battler. And I'll tell you what, guys, if you're looking at it from a Twins perspective, and I think this is why you're seeing this number go up, probably not going to give up worse than 2 runs in 5 or 6 innings pitched. Turn it over to the bullpen. The only knock I have on Sonny Gray when you try to compare him to the Gerrit Cole in New York and these guys, those guys go Verlander, they go 7-8 innings. I think Sonny Gray sometimes is a 6-inning guy, and that's his detriment. But still, if you told me my starting pitcher in 30 of 33 starts this year is going to go 6 innings on average and only going to give up 2 to 3 runs on average, about 2 runs, I would sign up for that every
for this organization. Just a massive spot.
Yep.
All of baseball wants them to beat the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
They go rip home field in Houston. You know, it's kind of, we talked about it all year, a bit of a hangover for the Astros. This is just a massive spot. The Twins hadn't won a playoff game in years and years, and you both set it up well. It's a great position to be in with their best pitcher on the bump.
Question for both of you. Don't you think, and I hate when this is the scenario, this game is far more important for Minnesota than it is for Houston for two
for
reasons.
Sure.
Stros have been there. I think would potentially be their 7th consecutive LCS.
I mean, Altuve and Bregman have played like 90 postseason games in their career. Yeah. They're not even like...
Yeah, exactly. Bregman's still a young guy.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, you've got your best pitcher going in Sonny Gray. This is the game you have to win against what I consider to be out of their top three guys, Verlander, Framber,
totally
and
agree.
Javier. You got to get the win here.
Absolutely. No. My only fear, I guess, would be is... Are we underestimating the Astros and those bats and the potential for them to go off? As good as Gray has been, with their experience in the playoffs? Are we underestimating their ability to score? And also Minnesota to potentially put up some runs against Javier, who, while I think we all like him as a pitcher, as you mentioned, Patrick, he did not have a good season. He fixed things towards the end, September, yeah. October, but overall did not have a good season.
Patrick, real quick, in reference to that, here's my thing. Javier doesn't have margin to pitch poorly today. If he gets into a little bit of a hiccup or a bump, I think Dusty's going to have a quick hook on him, and I think it's going to be more of a bullpen game just based on the fact that you're looking at potential. You've got to win 18 of the next 27 innings if you're the Stros or the Twins.
55 degrees, first pitch coming up in just about 20 minutes. The Astros at the Twinkies. Man, the Twinkies, Glenn, like that, growing up, our age, when Jack Morris went over there, the Twins were legit growing
Ken
up.
Two World Series in 5 years, 87, and then one of the greatest games of all time, the 91 Game 7 between Smoltz and Jack Morris. Morris goes, 10 innings in that game?
Oh, yeah. It's still to this day. 87? Was that 87?
It was 91.
Yeah,
87. 87.
It was 3 years later. You're right. It was the second one. Yep. It was great. It's tremendous. I remember where I was. Okay.
Even money, by the way, to win this series, the Twins.
Wow.
Minus $1.20 on Houston.
Surprising.
Interesting. What's the updated number on the next one? So this is a worst case scenario, nightmare scenario for Baltimore as, of course, they lose to at home. Again, very similar, akin to what's happening with the Diamondbacks a couple of years ago, over 100 losses, just a dream season for Baltimore. Looks like my team is going to go down. But look, the Rangers are so mercurial, and all of a sudden, they're popping. And there's no reason to believe they lose. Evaldi's been tremendous. I do like a team total. I'm going to go over the 4.5 with the Rangers here, boys. But this is critical. Obviously, you lose, you go home. Lose for the Orioles, you lose out on a magical season. I don't think they have any pressure going in here because nothing was expected. When I say nothing, I mean relatively. Yep. But I think a justifiable $1.38 favorite for the Rangers coming home here.
Completely agree with you. And I was wrong on Nathan Evaldi in that matchup against Tampa. I think maybe he found himself again. And he had a couple of hiccups and some late starts against Seattle down the stretch where he gave up 12 earned runs in just 8 1/3 innings pitch. Guys, if Nathan Evaldi is the guy that the Rangers had for most of the year, where he was had a 2.7, 2.8 ERA during most of the regular season, I think the Baltimore Orioles are in trouble. And one other thing I want to bring up real quick. You know, I always say John Cooper's the best coach in North American sports. But I got to tell you, Bruce Bochy needs to be in the conversation. When you talk about Belichick was up there for a number of years, the guy in San Antonio, Greg Popovich. And then, of course, I mentioned Cooper with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Bruce Bochy's a Hall of Famer. He's won 3 World Series with the San Francisco Giants. Remember, this team never won a World Series with Barry Bonds and Dusty and all those guys, Jeff Kent. He goes there, he wins in 10, 12, 14. Comes to Texas. Yes, the Rangers updated their team, but they added Semien and Seager in the middle of that lineup. We saw their 2 big pitching acquisitions both go to the shelf, neither of them competing in this postseason. And all Bruce Bochy is now, a game with 3 opportunities away from the LCS once again.
Absolutely. And Bochy's done a hell of a job. Great year for the Rangers. And the Orioles, since Bautista's gone down, that bullpen just hasn't been the same. So I'm going to go over the 4.5. I don't expect Mr. Kramer to go deep here, big guy. I'm going to go over the 4.5. A team total on the Rangers.
Yeah, I'm considering laying it with the Rangers. May even go run line and catch that plus price, because this is why Nate Evaldi was brought to Texas. To win big games in the postseason when it matters. He's had to step up with DeGrom and Scherzer out. He's the guy they're looking to this time of year. And I think for Baltimore, Atlanta was able to come back after getting off to a slow start following their first round bye, but that's because they've been there and done that before. This Baltimore team's never been through that before, and they don't have a bona fide true number one ace to dominate and get them that win in this series. I think they could be completely done. I'm considering the run line.
Okay, fair enough. Plus 145 if you do lay the 1.5. Good job. The big guy is back. I'm Al Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher. When we return, college football. Got some interesting matchups tonight.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code SHARP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Let's have some hedging conversations with the big guys. Got a bunch of tickets as far as futures. There's baseball is concerned, we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice start to your week. Got a bunch of college football coming up tonight, playoff baseball. Just about 20 minutes away from first pitch there at Target Field in Minnesota. You know what I was thinking? Because we were having a discussion on Mal Shaw and Dustin Sweetelson, of course, there at the D. We were having a discussion about the crowd yesterday at Allegiant Stadium. And Dustin said he felt like it was a Packer, pro-Packer crowd in the first half, and then maybe a little more juice from Raider fans in the second half. What was hilarious to me is every time they went to the Raiders owner box, and your boy was mouth-breathing, hanging out with Shorty in the box, and he got so bitter, Mark Davis, just with the cut, the whole thing, he got so bitter when McDaniels decided to try to attempt that field goal. He's like, what the F is he doing? But also it made me think, does he shop? If Dustin, if you're talking, I can't hear you. If does he shop at the same store as Jimmy Vaccaro? do you guys notice that Mark Davis always has that cream white,
yep,
just basic sweatshirt on? And that is Jimmy Vaccaro has worn nothing but that for since I've known him.
Like facts? A mock turtleneck sort of thing going.
You know, old champion sweater.
that is a boss move, right? Like, you just don't care ever.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know he didn't care.
You keep the decisions to a minimum, yeah, every single day.
Exactly.
You just roll out,
yeah, exactly,
and you Nepo own a team. You know, Mark Davis. There was a great clip today on social of Davis. Apparently, he was at the airport there in Vegas, and he was waiting to board his plane, and he was just sitting down at a slot machine. Like, that's where you know you're just conditioned as a trained whatever, because you're just like, dude, he has more money than he knows what to do with, and he's just sitting there yanking on the one-armed bandit at the airport.
Is he the poorest owner in U.S. sports? Because, you know, like, I don't
think he has anything liquid, but if he decided to sell the franchise, he'd be one of the richest people on the planet. So
can you take out loans against the Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, that's how
P.F. Chang's ain't expensive.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how they all do it, right? That's how they avoid paying taxes. They take loans against the money, and the bank lends it to them. It's perfect for everybody. Yeah.
It is. It's fascinating. Anyway, 17-13, the Raiders 2-3, the Packers 2-3. Two pretty bad, if we're being honest, two pretty bad football teams we watched last night. We'll get to the college football coming up. But yeah, you do have some decisions to make. You've got a nice little futures ticket, a big price on the Rangers. I know that. You've got a big price on the Snakes, the Diamondbacks. I know that. So what's the decision here?
Yeah, so I'm in a weird spot that I am very happy I'm in, but I'd like to lock in some ROI and at least like get off of tickets if I have to, and at least like not walk away in the negative in the World Series market. So right now I've got three tickets in Arizona starting 20-1 up to 80-1. And then with Texas, I've got like seven different tickets on them from 8-1 up to 22-1. They both pay out about the same. They're both red hot. They're both up in their series. I already bet the Dodgers after Arizona won game one of this series to win that one. I need to now come back the other way with Baltimore in my Rangers bet. And the question is, when I hedge this, do I go for just the ticket amount or do I go for a little bit more than the ticket amount?
Well, I would look at all the numbers in total between everything you've got, how much you've invested, what your potential take back is at the minimum, whichever team wins for you is beneficial. And I would look to make a potential profit. At the very worst, I would look to break even. Right now, with Baltimore, I would just look to break even because I think the Rangers are in a great spot.
Yeah.
Patrick, I don't know where you come out on them winning three in a row. It's obviously possible. Remember, we saw the Red Sox do it with Pedro against the Indians back in the day. They were down 2-0, and they come back and win. But I don't believe Baltimore is going to be able to do it at this point in time. So I would try to just mitigate my liability. I wouldn't be trying to go over and spend more money on the Orioles.
Yeah, I concur. What's the price right now?
Right now at DraftKings, the Orioles are plus 750. So, I mean, I don't have to put much down there.
That's a simple play.
Yeah.
And your two big plays right now as far as future liability, what?
Those are my two big ones. I have the most money on Texas. I can win the most on Arizona because they're so long at 80-1 with my first bet there. And then the only other ticket I have is the Phillies, and the Phillies would basically just cover all of my World Series tickets if they won. I wouldn't be up if they won.
Okay. You're in a good spot. You're in a good spot. You can go game to game. Oh, you know, I want to quickly touch on some college football because actually it's so funny. I've watched Coastal Carolina, App State, Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee State, Liberty, and Jacksonville State more than I've watched Georgia and Michigan this year. So I feel like I feel very well versed to discuss these teams. Not that I won a bunch on them, but I want to start with the early one, and I can't quit Louisiana Tech. I know how bad they are. Trust me, they're just not as bad as Middle Tennessee State. So here we go. The number, Middle Tennessee State's laying 3. I've watched La Tech, who's 3-4, nonstop. Here's the thing you need to know about Louisiana Tech. They're terrible on offense. They do have a tremendous pass D, and that's going to be important here. They can't stop the run, okay? Here comes Middle Tennessee State. The one thing they can do is throw the football. And so I think Louisiana Tech mitigates that some with their secondary. Middle Tennessee State can't run the football. La Tech can't stop the run. They score Middle Tennessee State just 20 points per. They've got a terrible defense. Okay. They give up a ton. One of the worst defenses in all college football, that being Middle Tennessee State. La Tech's the better team. I have to take the 3. I keep trying to take with the Bulldogs, and I'm going to come back to it here, boys. If you wanted to look to the under, I wouldn't blame you, but I'll take the 3 with La Tech, who I just think's the better team on the road tonight.
I'll go one step further. I took Louisiana Tech on the money line plus 130. This Middle Tennessee team is 1-5. There's no business of them being a favorite right now. I know this game is in Murfreesboro, but when you look at this team, Vataino, or I might have mispronounced his last name, the quarterback, 9 touchdowns, 6 INTs. That's way too many so far through 6 games. I just don't think this team is consistent enough. You mentioned Louisiana Tech, but look, they've played some pretty decent opponents along the way. Lose by 3 to North Texas. Nebraska beat them by 14. You know, it's funny. I've been very critical of Nebraska. This team's going to wind up in a bowl game this year. And you look at SMU, no shame in losing to an offense. Rhett Lashley's teams are always very good offensively. Lost to Western Kentucky. We know how good Austin Reed and company are. If they can just slow down the Blue Raiders, who I think are a little bit more balanced than Louisiana Tech on offense, I think the Bulldogs' defense is good enough to be able to negate what they do in this game. And then if you get Harrison involved, he's been tremendous. Smoke Harris had a great year, almost 500 yards receiving so far for this Louisiana Tech Bulldogs team. Patrick, forget the 3 for me here. I'll go plus 130 on the money line. Right. At some point in time, the odds makers have to realize it's the old Bill Parcells line. You are what your record is. Middle Tennessee is 1-5. They had probably one of the best spots in college football this year at home to beat an opponent in Colorado State, coming off one of the most emotional games we've seen all season against the Buffaloes. They get up early, they blow that game. The Rams win that game. This is a game where Louisiana Tech wins, in my opinion.
I'll give you a number that you brought up, Nebraska. Yeah. Dustin, last Friday we sat here. Nebraska was catching 3 at Illinois in this exact spot. Nebraska, the better team going on the road at Illinois, outright winner. They were in the La Tech spot that Amal just mentioned as far as money line. I'll take the 3. He'll take the money line with the Bulldogs. How about you?
I considered both of those bets. I think I'm going to end up taking the points to be safe here just because La Tech is a frustrating team to watch this year, but I have no issues with going plus $1.30 on them. Look, Middle Tennessee is also coming off a game where they blew a 23-7 halftime lead against Jacksonville State. I know Jacksonville State made a quarterback change during that game. That doesn't matter. You're up 23-7. You got to figure out a way to win that game.
A couple things to your point. It's not even just the fact that they got beat in the second half with a 23-7 lead. They give up 38 points. That means they're basically scoring every time they've got the football. 6 possessions they scored on in that second half. That's just an indictment of what Middle Tennessee is.
To Zion Webb, a quarterback completing less than 50% of his passes this year. Like, their defense is atrocious. They may throw the ball a lot, but they do not finish drives. They are really bad at finding the end zone. So they have the 17th highest pass rate in the country, but they're just 87th in passing success rate. They can't run the ball. They don't score. Their defense allows a lot of people to score. They're 127th in the nation in opponents finishing drives against them. Absolutely, La Tech's the answer. Whoever's at quarterback, it's Bachmeyer, it's the other kid, it doesn't matter. As long as they're throwing it to Smoke Harris, he is dynamic enough by himself to get them a couple of touchdowns tonight.
By the way, two teams that, you know, undefeated in Conference USA play, Liberty and Jacksonville State. Just quickly on this one, Rich Rod has 2 quarterbacks and Chadwell has 1. And Slater, to me, that's the difference in this matchup. Liberty at Jacksonville State. Liberty's laying 6.5. Not sure if I'm willing to lay the 6.5. However, I am looking at the under. Both teams rely heavily on the run game. 2 very good defenses with Liberty and Jacksonville State. Quickly, I'll go under the 58.5. You two have a play here?
Not on this game.
I like the under as well, considering Liberty first half minus 3 and a hook. Jack State can't score with them.
There it is. Okay. Speaking of college football, good job, boys. When we return, we'll talk a little college football. This dude's entertaining. Brooks Austin, Fan Nation Director of Recruiting, joins us next.